Revelation chapter 22, and Sunday nights we've been, we actually started this series a few years ago, and about 3 years ago on Sunday nights we started preaching through the Bible on one message on each book of the Bible. Of course, that would take 66 weeks if there wasn't any breaks in between. There were several breaks in between. But we taught one message each book of the Bible to give an understanding of why that book is there. The Bible is the most important thing that we have to know God, because that's how we really understand who God is and what God expects from humanity. And the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through eternity future. And so it's very important that we have it so we know where we came from. If we didn't have the Bible, then we'd believe in evolution. If you didn't have the Bible, you would believe in evolution. That's what the natural thinking of man has to be able to figure it out and put it all together and everything else. We would, but we have the Bible. And we know the Word of God is true and faithful. And so because we have the Bible, we're not going to listen to the philosophies of man, because we have the actual, the only account of the one that actually viewed what took place in the beginning. That's God. And so we have His account. We have the Bible, which reveals everything about eternity past all the way through eternity future. And so it's important that we understand why we have each book of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all. We broke it all down. Then we got into the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, we started teaching just verse by verse and all the way through. And because the book of Revelation is what God has revealed concerning the future. The present, the church age, is found there as well in chapters 2, down to in chapters 2 to 3. And then in chapter 4, we find that it is the rapture of the church. The church is gone. And then we go from there into the tribulation and into the 7-year tribulation, to what's going to take place on earth and what's taking place in heaven at that time. We go through that and we find that there's going to be a millennial reign when Christ returns with the church, His bride, sets up a kingdom there and from Jerusalem. And He will rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years on this planet. How do you know that? Because we have the Bible. Yeah. If we didn't have the Bible, then everyone would have a different philosophy and a different way of thinking what takes place after death. The only one that actually knows what takes place after death is the very same one that was viewed the beginning, who also views the end, and that's God. And so we don't have to leave it up to philosophies. We don't have to call the psychic hotline to find out what the future holds. We don't have to listen to the philosophies of men. Why? Because we have the Bible. The Bible is God's record, God's account of past, present, and future. And so in the book of Revelation, we find that we have what God reveals to us concerning the future. At the millennial reign, there's going to be a final judgment, and Satan will be cast into this eternal lake of fire, the Gehenna hell. And what a blessing that's going to be. No more Satan to hinder humanity. And after that, then we find that man, fallen man, all those who have died without faith in God and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ will stand at a great white throne judgment. And the Bible records exactly what will take place at the great white throne judgment. This will be the final judgment, and this is known as the second death. All of us here will die a physical death if the Lord does not return and rapture the church before we face physical death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. And so we find that all of us will die once, but those of us that have been born twice will only die once. If you've only been born once, then you'll die twice. Yeah, hopefully you understand that, but that's a second death. If you've only been born physically, you've never been born spiritually, you're going to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. That's a second death. And so the Bible reveals to us about the second death. And then from chapter 21, verse 1, through chapter 22, verse 5, he reveals eternity, heaven. That's something that we need to understand. We've been studying that now for the last few weeks, chapters 21, verse 1, to chapter 22, verse 5, eternity. Everything is new. everything is new. A new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven meaning a new atmosphere. We'll have glorified bodies. We won't need the oxygen to breathe. We won't need the sun. We won't need the moon. We won't even need the oceans. All those things will be past. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We'll have new bodies. No more curse. Amen. No more aches and pains. No more arthritic problems. No more cancer. No more whatever. New bodies. No more curse. We're going to have a new Jerusalem. Jerusalem is known in the Bible somewhat as a hometown. The Jews always looked at Jerusalem, Old Testament, New Testament. It was a very meaningful place, somewhat like as we studied our hometown. It's a meaningful place. Well, we'll have a new hometown. Heaven is going to be our home for an eternity. And praise the Lord for that. And then we have a new light. A new light. No sun, no moon. If basically heaven is going to be a different kind of life, but it will be life, and there will be pleasures, there will be eating, there will be all the... You can't have too high of expectations of heaven. Not going to be marriages in heaven. We think, what a blessing it is to find our mate for life and marry and have a family, and what a blessing that is. Heaven is going to far exceed anything that you can have on this earth. The relationships will be better than that on this earth. God just gives us these things to help us to realize how good it's going to be, how blessed it's going to be in glory. A new life where there'll be no more darkness. And the Bible says, and we ended with this last week, we will reign forever. Everyone's going to reign. I don't know what we're going to reign over. I just know the Bible says, mark it down, you will be with the Lord. All these things are true, and we will reign forever. That's verse 5 of chapter 22. Well, now we're going to look on beyond that. After he reveals to us about heaven, we start in chapter 22, and verse 6 through 9 is what we're going to cover tonight. But this is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And so here throughout the remainder of the New Testament, the remainder of the book of Revelation, it's the final words of God to man. The final words of God to man. I'll tell you what, I remember the final words that my dad said to me. I remember the final words that my mother said to me before they passed away and went on to glory. When somebody leaves, you remember the final conversation, remember the final words. And what a blessing that is. The final words of an almighty God to man. I think these are very important. I think that's going to be helpful to us. And so we're going to start here in verse 6. Stand with me. We'll read verse 6 down to verse 9 is what we're looking to cover tonight. This is right after he's revealed to us what eternity is going to be like, a new heaven, a new earth, and all the things that go on with us in glory. We have this understanding now. We understand what's going to take place in this church age, what's going to take place during the tribulation. We don't want to be on earth during the tribulation. We understand that we want to be in heaven. We want to be in the clouds, meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ during that time. And then, of course, the judgments, the millennial reign of Christ, and all the... He's revealed all that. Now he gives us the final words. Final words of God to man. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. What a blessing to sense your presence in this place. What a blessing that we've already received in singing praises unto thee and being able to be ministered to through these specials. And now to open up your word and study this book of Revelation. I pray that you would just meet with us, work through the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The final words of God to man. In verse 6 we find here, he says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true." And he brings in the Old Testament when he talks about and the Lord God of the holy prophets. Talks about how God revealed the things that he's revealed to man, and he's written them down in the book that we have here, Old Testament, New Testament, everything that's written down here. We find that the Bible says you can trust it. You can trust believing in creation. No matter what humanity might want to teach and what they want to tell you and how they want to persuade you, you can trust in it. Don't have to have new evidence. We don't have to look for archaeological finds. We don't have to look for all the things that the world's looking for. We can just trust the Word of God. They're faithful and true. The words of the book of Revelation is from the same Lord that spake through the prophets of the Old Testament and their prophecies. And those prophecies have come to pass. The prophecies of the New Testament, the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. The prophecies, everything leading up to the next prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled is the rapture. All the other prophecies leading up to the rapture have been fulfilled. As we look back over the Old Testament and see what the prophets prophesied and all that was given to them concerning this New Testament church age and all that has taken place, the prophecies have been fulfilled. And if the prophecies have been fulfilled up to this point, that the Messiah would come and he would hang on Calvary's cross and he would give his life for the world and he would resurrect on the third day. He'd be born of a virgin. He'd resurrect from the grave after the third day. He would send the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. He would complete his scriptures that we might have the revelations of God. The complete revelations of God. Listen to me. All those prophecies have been fulfilled. He said, they're all faithful and true. If we have seen that he has fulfilled those prophecies, we need to put our faith and trust in the prophecies that follow that. That's what he's telling us there. It's going to come to pass. Every individual chooses whether you believe or not the Word of God. But all will be judged by what the Bible says. John chapter 12, that's just what the Scriptures teach. John chapter 12. Everyone has a free will. God does not force anyone to get saved. God does not force anybody to believe. But it does reveal to us that we all will be judged according to the words of God. And God has written them down, preserved them for us. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Bible says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." Jesus teaching those. You don't have to believe that I'm Messiah. But if you reject me and you reject what I'm telling you, and you reject the idea of salvation, if you reject that, there's one that judgeth him. "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Wow. That's powerful stuff right there. You don't have to believe. God wants you to believe. It takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It takes faith to believe there's only one way to heaven. It takes faith to believe the teachings of Christ when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." It takes faith to believe that. And as you have faith to believe that, then all you have to do is receive the free gift of everlasting life. Amen. It's a gift. You don't work for it. Amen. It's impossible. We're studying Abraham and how that it's always been by faith. The Bible teaches it's always been by faith. And so it's not of works, lest someone should boast about how much work they've done and put themselves above somebody else. It's about faith. Jesus has paid the sin debt, a debt that you owe and couldn't pay. He paid it for you, and he offers it to whosoever who will believe, that is ready and willing to receive a gift from God. And then once you've done that, then you are his. You are bought with a price. You're no longer your own. And he seals you with the Holy Spirit of God. He's sealed into that day of redemption. You can't lose that which God has given to you. Once you've received it, you are his child. And you've been sealed. And God will deal with you differently than he deals with a lost person. I guarantee you, in raising our children, we dealt with our children differently than we did the neighbor's children. If we dealt with the neighbor's children the way we dealt our children, we'd be in jail. But I did not have the responsibility to raise the neighbor's children, amen? I have a responsibility to be an example and a testimony, but I have the responsibility to raise our children. I'll give an account for how I raised our children. We will give that account. God will deal with you differently if you're his child. You still have a free will, but you can't get out and live in sin without having the judgment of mom and daddy. Can't have the live in sin without having the chastisement and the conviction of an indwelling Holy Spirit and God, the Heavenly Father, working in our lives. So, our hope. God's words are faithful and true. Faithful and true. Verse 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book." Now, I come quickly. The understanding of there is, don't think that you can wait until you see the clouds open to be able to make a decision for Christ. It's going to be in the blinking of an eye. It's been over 2,000 years. He was not talking about he's going to come within the next few months. He comes quickly when it's time for the rapture to take place, when it's time, when the God himself says it's time, go bring my children home, amen? It is that time, and it will happen just like that. The rapture will take place, and you will not have opportunity. You will not have the time to repent at that point and get saved. Too late. Too late. We have the opportunity right now, today. Right now is the time. While you have the opportunity, when you understand that you're lost in need of a Savior, and you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that tells you what that preacher is saying is true, what you need to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When that takes place, you might never have another opportunity to receive Christ, and don't turn away from Him, turn to Him and receive Him as your Savior. If you know it comes quickly, you're not going to turn away from opportunities to be saved. Especially when you know the Bible, when you know these prophecies are true. Want to get saved. But in that same verse, he said this, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Learning of them. Blessed is he that keeps the prophecies, the understanding that God has revealed to us, believes them, put your faith in that, put your hope in that, to know exactly what's going to come to pass. He says, blessed is that individual. Blessed. Going to be blessings now and blessings when he comes. When he comes, the blessings are obvious. Amen? We've studied that. When he comes, the blessings are obvious. We get a glorified body. Amen? We get raptured up, get away from the sin-cursed world, sin-cursed body. Old nature's gone. We're meeting with the Lord. We shall ever be with the Lord. We have heaven to look forward to. We have all the blessings of what he's just revealed to us concerning heaven. That's obvious. The blessings after we leave this life. But what about the blessings now? God says, blessed is he now who keep the sayings. You hold on to these. You understand what God has revealed to us. Matter of fact, not only did he say that there, after he's explained everything about the future, everything about the future has been explained. We understand it. Go back now to the beginning of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Especially this New Testament church age. The time is at hand. Everything about the Old Testament was leading up to this New Testament church age. It was leading up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishing of his church, which will be his bride after this world is over. After the rapture, then his bride will meet with him, the church, the believers, and then he will bring his bride back to be able to rule and reign for 1,000 years, the millennial reign. And so we find here he reveals to us that there is a blessing to all of those who read and understand and hold to this knowledge of future fact. What are some of those? The blessings now. When you know this to be true and faithful, the Word of God, and you know that God is the creator of all things because you believe the Bible, and you know that God is going to rapture up his church, and he's given us eternal life, everlasting life, and you know that it's going to be what it's going to be. You can't have too high of expectations of heaven. Listen to me, if we know that right now, to have that assurance, God is real, the Bible's true, we'll have a closer walk with God. You know what hinders us today? Doubt. Unbelief. Does God really know who I am? Does God really care about what I'm going through? Does God really hear my prayers? Can God really take care of me and meet the needs that I have? Can God keep me from evil? Can God help lead me in the paths of righteousness? And all those things are true, God can, but if you have doubt, you'll not have the peace of that taking place. And if you don't have the peace that passeth understanding, can I tell you, you will lose your joy. And as you lose your joy, then you fall into a depression. And Satan oppresses and he uses depression and he will destroy that individual. But when you believe it, and you cast out doubt, and there's going to be doubt. Satan's going to try to confuse you. He can put suggestions in your mind. He can try to work to hinder you. You just need to do as God told Peter, as Jesus told Peter, and as Jesus did himself when he addressed the devil, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Amen. Peter was letting Satan work through him, and Jesus looked at Peter and said, "That's not you, it's Satan working through you. Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter never forgot that. How do you know? Because I know I'd never forget it. If the Lord looked at me and called me Satan, my goodness. Get thee behind me. His thinking was being messed up. His thinking was not according to the Word and the will of God. But when you believe that and you hold on to His Word as being faithful and true, you can have a closer walk with God, an awareness of His presence. You can understand the need for the church. You can understand how God is going to work through the church because chapters 2 and 3, the church age. Jesus and his teachings, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. What I'm saying this morning, this evening rather, if we have the belief to know that God is real and what God has revealed to us, we hold on to those truths, we hold on to those sayings, we will not forsake the church. Because the church is where we find the strength to continue to live for the Lord. It's through the church that we find the family of God. It's through the church that we can have the help to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's through the church that we come in and have an opportunity to sing praises unto His name and to be ministered to. It's through the church. And if you believe the words of God, you'll understand the importance of the church and you'll not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. Blessings now to those who believe it. If you don't understand the importance of the church, then you are turning your back on the Word of God. Amen. But there's blessings now. The blessings after we die, the blessings after this life is over is obvious. I mean, heaven, praise the Lord for that. But there's blessings now. And when you understand what God has revealed to us, you understand the importance of the church in this church age. Will not be overwhelmed by whatever happens, because God's word prepares us for all things. 1 Peter chapter 4. It's things that God's revealed to us. If you hold on to what God's revealed to us, then you'll be prepared. You'll be blessed now in this life. 1 Peter chapter 4. Never one time did Christ promise His disciples that you'll not have any troubles in life. You get saved, everything is going to be peaches and cream. You'll never have a need. You'll never have a pain, a hurt. No one will ever talk bad about you. Your relationships will be perfect for the rest of your life. That's heaven. That's not here on this earth. But look what His word prepares us for that and what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. As though some strange thing. God is not real, or that wouldn't have happened. God doesn't love me, or He wouldn't allow this to happen. I wouldn't be sick. I wouldn't get cancer. I wouldn't lose a loved one. That's not ever been a promise of God. Matter of fact, He tells us. Jesus told His disciples, they persecuted me. Did you see what they did to me? They'll do the same to you. But I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. We don't have a promise that will not be for that will not have to suffer persecution. We do not have the promise. And then the closer we get to the rapture, there will be greater persecution. There's going to be a great apostasy. The church will come under great persecution. The stands that we take, the biblical stands that this United States of America, everyone took at one time. All the churches would take stands. They've gone away. Only those that will remain faithful to the words of God and continue to keep take the same stands, they're the one that's going to be persecuted. That's Antichrist. It's going to become an Antichrist society. It's going to be that way after the rapture, so it has to lead up to that. And we're seeing that today. Anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-what God claims right, and anti-what God says is wrong, is sinful. We see it. So we will not be overwhelmed by whatever happens because we're expecting it. Amen. When you have too high of expectations, that's when you get yourself in trouble. Lower your expectations of everybody else, you'll find you'll be a happier person. It's true. The only one that you ought to have high expectations for is you. I expect much out of me. I expect me to be able to do the right thing every time. I don't have that expectation of anybody else. Because I can't control anybody else. I can control me. I will give an account for me. I will not give an account for you. Wow. We will not be overwhelmed by whatever happens because God's word prepares us for all things when he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." If you suffer for Christ in this life, can I tell you, you have rewards in heaven. If you suffer for your own evil actions, you have nothing in heaven for that. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, wow. In heaven and glory, you're going to be exceeding glad. And you can know that now as you're going through the trials. John the Baptist, we're on the study of John the Baptist. So you'll find that in the prison, once he gets his thinking clear, he's rejoicing knowing that he is suffering. That's God's plan for his life, for Christ. Paul himself, when he realized this infirmity of the flesh, he had prayed three seasons of prayer that God would remove it. And then he realized, no, God has this for his glory. Then I'll rejoice in it. How can you do that? By putting faith and trust in the Bible. By knowing what you know. We will not be overwhelmed by whatever happens if you keep the faith in the Bible. We will understand more about good and evil and will not confuse the two. If you just, today, in this life, if you just understand the revelations of God, you understand what's going to take place on this planet Earth, you understand what God says about the future, listen to me, we will understand more about good and evil and will not confuse the two. Because the Bible tells us what's good and the Bible reveals what's evil. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Just have faith in his word and know his word is faithful and true. His word tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Talking about spiritual. Talking about those that have grown and understand the word of God. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Not going to be persuaded by the world, the flesh, or the devil. I am focused on the word of God. And what God says is evil, and what God says is good. Amen. I'm not going to be confused by the two, no matter what laws they might pass. Yeah. Blessings now. We will not fear death, but as it draws closer, we will desire it more and more. When you know this, when you know what we have to look forward to, how can you fear that? Especially as it draws closer, we'll desire it. I believe God's got it planned that way. The older you get, the more pains you realize. The harder it is to get up every morning. I'm just 58. I know some of you are saying you haven't felt anything yet. You young whippersnapper. I like that. 58, I'm glad. I'd like anybody call me young, I'm happy. Amen. My daughter told me this morning, because I told her I was on the final lap, you know, and she said, "I don't like you saying that." And I said, "Yeah, I'll break it down to three laps. I mean, 30. I said, "You're on the second lap." I'm just starting. I'm on the third lap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. I love it. Paul knew this. His faith and trust was in the words of God and what God revealed concerning the future, what God revealed concerning prophecy. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Well, let's back up. Look at verse 20 and go down. I love this passage of Scripture. Paul says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I'm looking to heaven. I understand what heaven, but I want to glorify God. As long as he wants me here on this earth, I'm going to glorify him. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What great knowledge of that, to have knowledge of that. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart. He actually was caught up into the third heaven. God allowed him to see, view what we have to look forward to. Because of that, he understood that and he knew it. We have it written down for us. We have the book of Revelation completed now. Paul did not have that. We have that now. God has given us a glimpse of what Paul seen in the third heaven, the abode of God. He said, knowing this, he says, for I'm in strait between two, having a desire to depart. When you know you have heaven to look forward to, how could you not have a desire to depart if you knew it was going to be better? And you had no doubts about it being real. The only hindrance would be those that would not depart with you and what would happen to them. And I know we're thinking about that in this life. And that's why we make preparations for after we're gone, to help those that will have to take care of the funeral arrangements and all the different things. That was the only hindrance. But if you know that they're going to join you one day, what a blessing that is. So Paul says, I'm in a strait. I understand that those is going to be here and how much they need the witness of Christ. He said, but for myself, I'd rather go on. He said, I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. What a great way of looking at it. I'm excited about heaven, but I want to stay here as long as God wants me here and accomplish as much as God has me here to accomplish. Because if I'll do that, heaven will be even greater. To be able to stand before the Lord and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've completed. You finished your race. You didn't quit on the race. You didn't go halfway and then drop out. You finished your race. You've done all that I want you to do on heaven. And because of that, here, have this. This is yours. I don't know exactly know what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be something that we're going to desire in heaven. That's the blessing now. The blessing now. We will not fear death, but as it draws closer, we'll desire it. Be better prepared and more ready for it. It's a blessing to... I've been beside the deathbed of several over my years in the ministry. And those that have prepared, and those that have faith, what a blessing to see them say, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord. Totally different than somebody that's not prepared. Had one lady that she didn't have much longer to go. She's dying of lung cancer. When I went to see her, she was smoking a cigarette. Scared to death over what she was going to have to face when she died. Totally different. Totally different. The closer we get to death, the more we need to learn about God's Word. That's what he's talking about. Go back with me. We got to close here. We got to come to an end. Chapter 22. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Keep them in your heart. Keep them in your mind. Be aware that this is real. This is something faithful and true. Verse 8 and 9, he says, and I, John, saw these things. I saw these things. See the reality of heaven, all that God had prepared for humanity, for those that received Christ, and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship. When you really understand and believe the prophecies of the book of this Bible, how can you not fall down to worship the Creator God? Amen. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. I mean, he was all there. Before you knew it, he was overwhelmed and he wanted to fall down and worship. But he was actually fell down at the foot of the angel. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. God had a purpose for me. I'm just doing what God had me to do. See thou do not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And then he said, worship God. The message of the book of Revelation should stir us to worship. But make sure you're worshiping God. We're not to worship a man, not to worship a building. Praise the Lord for the church that he plants us in. Praise the Lord for the servants of God that he uses. And they need to be respected. The position of a pastor and the position of those servants that God, they're being used by God to feed the flock and to be able to minister to the people of God. They need to be respected, but they are not to be worshiped. Be thankful. Worship God. Worship God. The book of Revelation. He's got more to say. There's more there for us. But the final words of God to man begins by saying, be faithful and true. And know that if you hold to them, there's blessings associated with it. Blessings in eternity, but blessings for those who still live on this planet Earth. Blessings that will be with you for the rest of your life. Let's hold on to the prophecies of this book. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.